the duration of a closed session to consider two items regarding litigation or potential litigation, matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality or local board. So I'm looking for a mover and seconder to move into camera. Councillor Ferguson and Councillor Gerard, all those in favor? Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Calling the meeting back to order. We had started our meeting at 5 with a closed session. There was two items considered in that closed session, and direction was given on both items to staff. So we'll move right into O Canada, and I would ask that you remain standing at the conclusion of O Canada for a tribute to Sean McLaughlin. It's with a heavy heart that I share that on Sunday, February 16th, while on holiday in Mexico, former Mayor Sean McLaughlin passed away unexpectedly. Like so many, I was shocked and saddened by Sean's untimely passing. I had the privilege of working with Sean during my first term on council. He was a strong supporter of the arts, of culture, of our libraries, and as mayor, drove towards fiscal responsibility as a committed proponent of long-term financial planning. Sean was a champion of the Lanark County Food Bank and believed neighbor helping neighbor to be a pillar of local food security. After his retirement from politics, he became the ambassador of the Great Veggie Grow-Off program. Long before being elected as mayor in the 2014 election, Sean's commitment to our community began when he joined the Ramsey Community and Economic Development Committee to assist with the groundbreaking community official plan back in 1993. He then served as a Ramsey councillor during the 2010 to 2014 term. Sean was an eloquent writer and had a long-running column, The Curmudgeon, in the local print paper, followed by active blogging on many municipal matters. Those who had the pleasure of knowing or working with Sean knew him as a generous man with a cutting sense of humor. His was a quick mind that brought challenging angles to debate. He was principled, wickedly intelligent, and kind. He was never afraid to make hard decisions that he believed would benefit the majority of the community. He was a great man of exceptional intellect who contributed to countless long-lasting projects of our municipality. His love for Mississippi Mills, its natural beauty, and his pride for our community was palpable. Like many, I will miss Sean for his commitment and his love for our community, but his impact will be felt for many generations to come. Over the next days, weeks, months, and years, may we keep him in our thoughts and share kindness with Sean's beloved wife, Amelia. Thank you, Sean, for your countless contributions, for your friendship, and for your support. May you rest in peace, knowing how greatly you will be missed. I'd ask you to remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. Should you wish to share your condolences, there is a book available just outside the chamber where you can sign and share fond memories of Sean. This will be shared with Amelia. Attendance?
We have regrets from Councillor Maiden.
Approval of the agenda. I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the approval of the agenda. Councillor Ferguson, Councillor Delgatty, all those in favor? Thank you. Disclosure of pecuniary interest in general nature thereof. That statement can be made at this time or when the item arrives in the agenda if it pertains to yourself. Approval of minutes from February 4th. Mover and seconder. Councillor Holmes, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Any comments? Seeing none, all those in favor? Thank you. Minutes are passed. We have no delegations, deputations, or presentations this evening, no public meetings. We do have the Committee of the Whole report. This is found on page 10. There's two motions. Capital priorities for hard surface roadways and the Mississippi Mills Bicentennial Celebrations for 2023. Would anyone want either of these pulled for separate discussion or voting? Seeing none, a mover and seconder for these two motions. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Delgatty, discussion? All those in favor? Thank you. And we have one staff report. This is regarding the financing for Victoria Street, the water sewer project on Victoria Street and State and Martin, as well as the dasher boards at the Stewart Community Center in Pakenham. The recommendation is that the treasurer be authorized to obtain financing from the TD Bank in the amount of $3,070,500. I can't remember what the fixed rate was. It was in the email. 2 points.
Thank you. 1 second. It is 2.417.
2.417% for 10 years to finance the water and sewer work on State and Martin and Victoria Streets, as well as dasher board replacement at the Stewart Community Center. So I'm looking for mover and seconder for this recommendation. Councillor Ferguson and Councillor Delgatty, any discussion? All those in favor? Thank you, that passes. We have two bylaws, part lot control and the borrowing authorization. Would either one of these, does anyone want to pull either one of these for separate vote or discussion? Seeing not, mover and seconder for the bylaws. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Delgatty, all those in favor? Thank you, that's carried. Any announcements or invitations? Seeing not, I'm looking for a mover and seconder for the confirmatory bylaw, which confirms the proceedings of our meeting tonight. Councillor Ferguson. Councillor Delgatty, all those in favor? Thank you. Mover and seconder for adjournment. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Delgatty, all those in favor? Thank you. We are adjourned. So we'll take a few moments before we come to the Committee of the Whole meeting.
So we'll call this meeting to order. A disclosure of pecuniary interest and general nature thereof. Speak now or before the item. Can I get a mover and seconder for approval of the agenda, please? Councillor Ferguson, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, all in favor? Carried. Mover and seconder for approval of the minutes, please. Councillor Holmes, Mayor Lowry, all in favor? Any discussion, sorry? All in favor? Consent reports, motion to receive. Mover and seconder, please, for the CAO's report. Councillor Ferguson, Mayor Lowry, discussion? All in favor? Carried. Committee board minutes to receive. MRPC, Parks and Rec and Agriculture. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, any discussion on any of these items? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. The page 14 in reference to the MRPC, two items. The first one, the brief discussion on the status of the office building to be held in at the January meeting. I realize we don't have those minutes, but is there anything outstanding specifically to that? And then the second part of that would be the falls lighting due to the high cost. And I wonder if there are high cost, if there has been a cost established for that.
So the in regards to the building, I think they I think I've mentioned it to council during the strategic planning that MRPC is interested in relocating our offices. So there hasn't been any significant discussions at this point further to that that goal, but Scott, the general manager, Scott Newton, has reached out to CEO Kelly and I to have a meeting with ourselves and Scott, and then the chair, Paul Virgin, to further that discussion. Of course, it's the decision of the corporation what they would like to do in terms of their offices and whatnot, but as the owners of that building and as their landlord, there's a lease to be considered, and that'll be what we're discussing at that time. And then the second item was the falls, the lights on the falls. So there had been a quote provided, and if I'm remembering correctly, it was $34,000. You go back and you ask a little bit more, and they got it down to $28,000. So it's a challenge for the corporation in that it really falls outside of their mandate to be spending that kind of money on the falls. It's not helpful to the operation. It doesn't help generate more more hydro, anything like that. But it certainly is something that, as a good corporate citizen, the town benefits from. The residents certainly enjoy. Business owners certainly enjoy, as do the visitors, or tourists and whatnot. So that will be the second item that that Scott, Paul, and the CAO and myself would be discussing in the coming weeks when we meet. Yeah, you're welcome.
Any further discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment about the Agriculture Committee meeting. We still haven't completed our work on the organic farming project, and we're going to have at least one more meeting before we can come up with some recommendations to bring to council. I also wanted to say that The public works technologist came to our last meeting and gave us a demonstration on the GIS dashboard. Very informative. He was excellent. And he did invite that if anyone had questions about the road, to make an appointment with him, and he'd be happy to meet with them to explain what the dashboard does. And I would like to suggest that we should invite him here to the council chamber to do a similar presentation for council.
So anybody that wanted to contact him, that was Corey Smith?
Yeah.
Any more discussion on these three items? Councillor Ferguson?
Yes, thank you. On page 20, it's specifically to the buffer. But MVCA should be 3 to 5 meters, fairly significant difference, I think. But I would hope that they would be a little more conclusive than should be. And I don't know where we'll find that out or not, but is that not a bit wishy-washy, to say the least, that maybe we could find something that's more official if there's going to be one?
Okay. Would you ask through the chair to Director Bergon, or who?
I
was it rec? Oh, sorry.
It was rec minutes, but I don't know whether they're in a position to ascertain that or not, or maybe through our reps on MVCA we could find that out. That, you know, is there going to be something that says yes, you shall have that? I don't know.
Mayor Lowry.
I don't have an answer as an MVCA board member, but I can share that I had a conversation with recreation manager Calvin Murphy, and he had indicated that he was working with the MVCA on this. Now I don't know if part of what he was working on was narrowing is it three or is it five? You know, so if it's five, that's okay. But you know, let's know what it is. But there was certainly discussion between him and the MVCA on what this buffering would look like. So I imagine we could probably work through staff to get an answer circulated to council on that and find out if that's part of the discussions he's been having with the MVCA staff too. Okay.
Thank you. Any more discussion on these three items? All in favor to receive? It's carried. We have a motion through Parks and Rec. Recommendation that Committee of the Whole accept the regret the resignation of Danny O'Connell from the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee. Mover and a seconder. Deputy Mayor Minnelli moved it. Councillor Gerard second. Any discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I would suggest that you've now lost two members from that committee, that you we should be asking you to for a recruitment of two more members.
Thank you. So that would be a motion. Motion with Councillor Holmes. And a seconder for that? Councillor Gerard. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor? Any more discussion on the recommendation of the resignation of Danny O'Connell? All in favor? We good? We're on page two, agriculture. Provincial consultation. A mover and seconder, please, for the recommendation. Councillor Ferguson, Deputy Mayor Minnelli. Discussion? All in favor of that recommendation? It's carried. Staff reports. Recreation and culture. Funding for Ramsey Recreation Halls 2020. We have a recommendation. Mover and Mayor Lowry, seconder. Councillor Holmes, discussion. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say that I'm really pleased that the staff have come up with this as a recommendation, as a starting point. There's been discussions with both halls, with volunteers at both halls, and quite a lot of discussion among staff as well as to what would be the best way to go forward to support both Clayton and the Union Halls. And I think we've got an excellent recommendation in front of us that operating for this year is higher than it was in previous years for the two halls, recognizing that there may be some costs for them undertaking business plans. Also a bit of a step in good faith towards the results of those business plans. But I think for any organization to be able to focus the beam and know what their priorities are and know what their goals are over a number of years is a really effective tool. So what we're asking is that in this recommendation, we're asking that to receive that 35% of their operating funding in a grant, they would agree to develop a 5-year business plan and submit to the municipality for the end of July. And then with that information, staff can review that and come up with a funding model that, rather than asking these halls to have to ask for annual funding every year, we'd be in a position to be able to create a 3-year funding model for them so that projects or capital projects or whatever it may be, it'll be a little easier for them to plan for that with sustainable funding in place. So I just want to say thank you to staff for coming up with this, and I think it's an exciting opportunity for these two really important halls in our Ramsey ward.
Thank you. Any more discussion? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Yeah, I think that's funding's a long time coming from Clayton to Clayton Hall. It's a good group of people up there, and they can initiate their programs if they have a budget. They know the shortcomings up there, and they'll be able to make $10,000 go a lot farther than we can.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor of this recommendation? That's carried. Roads and Public Works, Patterson Street parking restrictions. We have a recommendation. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Ferguson, discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I'm just looking at report on it, and it's mentioning that on-site parking is considered preferential to off-site parking. I'm wondering, what does that refer to?
Director Burgon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That statement essentially says that whenever you have the opportunity to park on site, it's easier for persons to leave their vehicle and make their way to the entrances of various facilities on site where the traffic is moving much slower and there's generally less traffic motion than off site, which means on the roadway. In the municipal road allowance, especially Patterson, it has become quite busy with the Riverfront subdivision. And there's a lot of traffic moving back and forth, so it's always concerning when you see people trying to open their doors when it's a busy traffic day. So it's certainly preferential if persons would park on their vehicles on site when possible. It just makes both traffic flow and ingress and egress of vehicles from the site much easier.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Page 31 is the letter received from the marketing director. The 22 spaces or additional spaces that have been found, that's on their property, is it? I'm assuming? Okay.
Yep.
Through the chair, yes, that is correct.
Good, thank you.
Councillor Gerard.
Thank you, through the chair, to the director. On page 28, it says that there's going to be the loss of potentially 25 parking spaces on the roadway. So the request was for just parking spaces on either side of the laneway as per se. So with this potential loss of parking spaces, how much parking is going to be allowed on Patterson Street?
Through the chair to the councillor's question. The ask from Orchard View is for parking restriction on the west side of the road all the way from just south of Tatra to, and I'll bring up the map here, it might be easier, to the other side of their facility. So I can shrink this down a little. Okay, so across their frontage on the west side, so on the far side of the road here, they're asking for no parking there. On the east side of the road, they're only asking for parking to be restricted immediately adjacent to the accesses, which equates to a loss of 3 parking spaces because right here there's a fire hydrant anyway, so persons aren't allowed to park within 3 meters of the fire hydrant. The fire hydrant is roughly 6 meters from the entrance to begin with, so you already have 9 meters there. So you'd lose a parking spot here, and one here, so only 3 on the east side. Parking would be allowed anywhere else on the east side of the road, but would be restricted on the west side.
Thank you. I was confused when it says that there's a loss of 25 potential parking spaces. It just didn't make a lot of sense with regards to the wording, I guess. I was confused. Thank you.
Any further discussion on this Patterson Street parking? All in favor of the recommendation? It's carried. We're on page 3, 2020 Wild Parsnip Management Program with a recommendation. A mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Ferguson, discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to defer this approval of this program till next meeting. I did send on some questions in regard to some finances and the different options that I would appreciate an answer to. Also, the Agriculture Committee has not been able to come to resolution on their recommendations yet. And I'm wondering about the resolution that was passed on November 19th, that council directs staff to contact the Friends of Lanark County Revegetation Management Plan, and I'm not sure if that's happened, so.
Can we start with, you want to put a motion to defer it first?
Oh, sure.
Okay, yeah, and a seconder for that? Deputy Mayor Minnelli? Okay, discussion on the deferral? Mayor Lowry? So the clerk said once we go to deferral, it ends the discussion.
Can I make a comment on that?
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not necessarily against the deferral, but I wonder if the mover and seconder would consider moving the deferral to the end of discussion so that we can look at the report and consider some of the other pieces that are in there. It's not to say that the deferral shouldn't come back, but it just, if we put the deferral on later, then we're able to have discussion and otherwise.
That was my fault, I rushed it.
No, it's not a fault thing, it's just a procedure thing.
Do you second it? You're okay with that? Okay. So you can go ahead.
So I think I pretty well concluded what I wanted to say. There was I actually had the three reasons why I wanted to defer it. I wanted some confirmation on some financial figures. The Agriculture Committee has still not had an opportunity to come to resolution on their recommendations. And I'm not aware that Public Works has met with the Friends of Lanark County. So on that basis.
Okay. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wonder, through the chair to the Director of Public Works, my understanding from sitting at the county table that the anyone who's wishing to tender with the county have to submit their numbers this week. Do you know if there's any flexibility with that date? Sorry that I'm talking to you with my back to you.
Director Bergon.
Through the chair to the mayor. We actually got a one-day extension all the way to tomorrow. It was supposed to be, the information was supposed to be given to them today. No, they need to proceed with their tender. They're going out with or without us, so that we need to let them know. Now, as I had mentioned, as Abby had mentioned in her report, there is flexibility as far as the number of kilometers of boom spraying or number of kilometers of spot spraying. That can be adjusted all the way until the time the contractor actually pulls up on site and starts doing the work. So there is additional field work that's going to be completed this spring through Abby and our summer student when the wild parsnip comes up, and we may make adjustments there. Of course, we just recently got information on the organic farm locations just this past week, at the end of last week, from Mr. Sigurdsson, outlining which are organic farms, and obviously we won't be spraying next to those locations if those organic farmers are willing to control the wild parsnip on our road allowance. So there is, again, flexibility. I don't see any reason to not join in with the county's program at this time, unless it's council's will not to spray at all.
Councillor Holmes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought on January the 29th that our COW meeting, we gave staff direction to go ahead and put in the number of kilometers that we would probably be spraying.
Through the chair, the program wasn't approved. So we need to at least know that we are going to do some spraying in order to jump into the tender. Certainly we have prepared the number of kilometers that we are forecasting. We've swung quite a bit from last year in mirroring the county's previous program when they first started to do mostly spot spraying this upcoming year, as opposed to the widespread boon spraying that both ourselves and the county did in the first year of implementation. But as far as we need to know, like if the council's direction is not to spray, we can't jump into the tender, because that would radically impact the tender after the fact.
Councillor Holmes.
I understand that, and I think we can say with a fair amount of certainty that there will be some spraying, because there is farms that do want it. But to approve option A tonight with the information we have, I for one cannot do that.
Councilor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, my question would be, if the tender's due tomorrow, if we bail out as the Lone Ranger tonight, how is that going to financially affect the tender? Have we any idea?
The chair, generally speaking, whenever you do a group tender such as the one the county puts out, you get more favorable pricing. If we have to go out by ourselves later on, obviously there's a lesser amount of roads associated with it, and likely to have unit rates somewhat higher.
Councilor Ferguson.
Thank you very much. The supplementary then. How much impact is the missing report going to have? Do we have any idea?
Through the chair, a missing report.
The missing report that Councillor Holmes refers to, that we don't have information on. Is that?
The Ag Committee report.
Yeah, but they haven't had a chance to review one report, I think she stated. Is that correct?
Okay, CAO Kelly's going to jump in here.
I'll just bring your attention to the actual recommendation, which says, with the understanding that modifications may be made to the plan based on the forthcoming Agriculture Advisory Committee recommendations with regards to organic farming operations. So the recommendation before you already anticipates that there's further information coming from that group. Whether it will change, I think your question is whether it will change the numbers of boom spraying or spot spraying. Is that your question? I think
yes.
Within the report, it does talk about 10 or so kilometers that is actually the frontage within these organic farms that we know of at this moment in time. And we're talking about, what's the number on boom spraying, 116 kilometers or something like that, and then several hundred of spot spraying. So 10 kilometers, even if you were to take all 10 out or a portion of it, is not really going to change the water on the beam in terms of the contract on that portion. But it does answer one of the three questions that were brought up of, we don't have this piece. This recommendation anticipates further material coming forward, further recommendations coming from the Ag Committee. With regards to confirmation on financials, I think was one of your questions. We could discuss that here tonight, which basically leaves us with the Friends of Atlantic County, as far as I understand.
Councillor Holmes.
Well, I think since there was a resolution in relation to Friends of Atlantic County, and my understanding is it hasn't been fulfilled, I think that's a very important piece, because that those are our partners in the community, and they're taxpayers, and they demand that they should have the respect that of having that consultation.
Director Bergon.
Through the chair, in response to that, Abby has had discussions with the Friends of Atlantic County. She's met with them to discuss in and around the agricultural committee meetings off on the side whenever those meetings were not in session, to discuss their concerns. And if you need more information on that, Abby could certainly expand.
Mayor Lowry.
I don't remember putting my hand up, but I did have a thought. It moves a little bit from the Friends of Leonard County discussion, but I did want to ask again through you, Mr. Chair. We have 113, approximately 113 lane kilometers of boom spray, and approximately 210 hours of spot spray. Do we know how many kilometers of spot spray that is in option one? Is it there and I'm just not seeing it in the chart?
I don't think it's the hours translate to kilometers. Basically, the hours are related to the level of infestation,
right,
whether it's medium, high, low, light, whatever, and the number of hours that the contractors are expected to expend. I think the staff did basically a calculation of how much hours per infestation level to come up with that estimate. It doesn't necessarily translate into a light takes 2 kilometers of a spray or what have you. So there's no direct correlation. I think you can try and re-engineer it or a back number, but that's not how I understand they figured it out.
No, that's fair. If I can ask a supplemental, through you, Mr. Chair, to the director. So we have some hard numbers in option one. If those were to change, like how significantly can those numbers change before we might see, let's say, a penalty or something to that effect while tendering with the county?
Through the chair, in answer to your previous question, there's roughly 512 kilometers of roadways that we're going to spot spray, but as indicated by the CAO, the hours don't necessarily equate because of the levels of infestation and the topography and whatnot. With regard to changes, wholesale changes, for instance, if we want to move away from boom spraying to spot spraying, as one of the options is in the report, obviously spot spraying is more expensive, so I don't think I see any penalty whatsoever from the contractor in us paying him more money. I don't believe there's a flavor to move the other way. So as far as removal of roads altogether, it's difficult to say with accuracy if the contractor, say if we halved everything, if the contractor would balk at that. Certainly, from what I'm hearing, if we're just dealing with the organic farming, as the CAO alluded to earlier, it's only about 10% of the area of the length of the roads that we were considering. So that wouldn't be an issue, but if we do massive changes to the program that would, you know, impact their ability to generate the profit based on their unit rates, they may balk at that.
So any more discussion on this recommendation? Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
Just one thing. Are we going to reconfirm the amount of infestation of the plant or in the spring? Are we going to go over and confirm the numbers that were given in the report from the last time?
Through the chair, it is our intent to go out this spring before the spray program begins to have a look and confirm the level of infestation in those areas.
Thank you.
To the director, is there an upset limit in the tender in terms of, I guess, the parameters up or down? 10, 15, 20%, that's no problem, 50%. Any idea if there's a number? Has the county given any guidance on that at all?
We don't have that information with us this evening. We haven't been advised by the county that there is such a clause. But generally, you're allowed to make some minor changes to quantities, and there always are provisions for that. It's just when it comes down to whether a contractor feels that he's in a position to litigate based on a contract, based on massive changes to it, whether or not it would be to their advantage to try to do that to recoup some of their losses if we went that direction.
Because I was just going to say, in terms of if there was such a number even in the 20% mark, changing the spot spray by 20% would roughly be about $6,000 and change, which would equate to around 40 odd hours. So you know, there's leeway to make some substantial changes here. And again, I think if we're looking at the potential for this to change based on additional input, I think the question from Mayor Lowry was, what are the penalties? Is that not right? So I guess we don't have that information in terms of what the potential penalties could be, but it does seem like the potential to make significant changes that would result in someone wanting to see penalties should be limited.
Any more discussion? Now we go back to it. So we'll go back to the original motion for deferral. You still move that motion and seconder? Okay. All in favor? That's carried. We'll move on to finance and administration, community engagement strategies with a recommendation. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, seconder, please. Mayor Lowry, discussion. Councillor Dryden.
Thank you. I guess my only real concern is that though I understand the option of going out and having meetings with the constituents, we're basically breaking it down so that we're going to be dealing one-on-one with the constituents, which is an option that is wonderful. I still feel that some people deserve the opportunity to come and speak to council as a whole, because they might speak to me and I might give them one answer. You might speak to another counselor and get a different answer. So one of the things I was wondering is, based on what Montague Township does and what Lanark County does as well, they allow a delegation. I'm wondering if we can add a very short time frame right now, possibly allow them on Fridays, by Friday at noon, to put in for a request to be able to speak at a council meeting on the Tuesday night with regards to things that are specifically on the agenda. It's a really, really short window. I know county allows them, they have to have them in by Thursday at noon.
Councillor Dredd, is this a motion you want to put forward?
Well, I'm thinking I would like to add it as an
amendment?
Add to this, yes.
You good with that? Yeah, go ahead.
So just for some clarity, Councillor Girard, are you looking to, so this is sort of a parameter on open forum? You're thinking?
Yeah, so it would be like a, I want to look and see what County and Montague do. There's, basically, they're allowed to request to speak for Thursday at noon in advance of the Wednesday meeting. So I know that it's very tight. And it can, when you deal with Montague only allow two questions with concerns of something that's only on the agenda. So I'm just, it's allowing people to actually come and speak about something that's concerning them. As of right now, the public has no way of discussing what's going on the agenda.
Tell me when you got that.
I'm just working on the wording.
Yeah.
This is what I've drafted. So a motion to amend, so we're inserting another "and that." So I have, "and that the Committee of the Whole recommends that Council direct staff to bring forward open forum at Committee of the Whole meetings within certain parameters, such as prior registration with the clerk by the Friday before the meeting. The subject must be on the agenda, and time constraints, time limits for speaking."
Yeah, like a duration of whatever we had discussed before.
So we had discussed base when we brought, I think in December, the first draft of the revised procedural bylaw, when we had open forum in there, it did speak to the subject matter had to be on the Committee of the Whole agenda, and there was a time limit. It was 5 minutes with a maximum of 3 speakers. All right, I believe, was that something along those lines? However, it was 5 to 10 minutes. I can't remember the exact time. And that no minutes would be taken. So it would just, they come and speak, and there would be no expectation that questions would be answered. They'd say they're, yeah.
It's not us answering questions, it's just them being allowed to communicate to us their thoughts.
Okay. Okay, seconder for that amendment. Councillor Holmes. CAO Kelly. Did you? Pardon me? Yeah, discussion, please.
Just to add, so page 25, I believe, is sections 111, starts off our procedural bylaw with delegations. And section 112, persons desiring to present information on matters of fact or make a request of counsel shall give notice to the clerk by completing and submitting the prescribed form no later than 12 noon, 14 days prior to the meeting of council or committee. I believe the other components in your motion are covered off in that. It's just this issue of 14 days. So for instance, the current procedural bylaw says, upon confirmation from the clerk, the delegate shall ensure that all matters or all material to be included in the agenda, so providing your presentation in advance. The delegate shall be limited in speaking to not more than 10 minutes. A delegation consisting of more than 5 persons shall be limited to 2 speakers, each limited to speaking not more than 5 minutes. The subject matter of the delegation does not have to relate to a matter on the agenda for that meeting. So that's a little bit of a divergence in what you're putting forward right now. And the discretion of the clerk, persons may generally only appear from council once every six months. And I think that's mainly the important things there. Is there anything in the motion that you saw that conflicted with the current procedural bylaw?
This is again the 14 days. They would not likely, if they're registering with me the Friday before the meeting, they would not, that's after the agenda is published, so their information would not be in the public agenda. So that's one item that would not be consistent with our procedural bylaw. And currently we don't allow for open forum, as we all know. So yeah, those are the main differences here.
Is there any more discussion on this? Councillor Ferguson?
Yeah, I have a little difficulty understanding the logistics of it. The agendas are drafted up the Thursday of, right? So how would we anticipate receiving the information specifically from an individual on the to be on the agenda when in fact there's not going to be, they wouldn't know?
Councillor Dwight.
I'm not saying that this is for, the people would be able to read the agenda on Thursday and then request to make comment on the Tuesday night. We're not answering questions, we're just allowing them to make comment.
Mayor
only
Lowry.
On the agenda.
Sorry. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It feels like the goal has moved a little bit, because it started with the concern of having discussions with individual council members, and that it that there's value in being able to get answers from all members of council. The proposed amendment that's on the floor at this time is saying that it would only be us receiving comment. There wouldn't be a back and forth between the speaker and members of council, and I would assume that also means the staff. I think think we've been around this one quite a few times, and we have seen in our own time at this table that open forum like opportunities don't tend to be positive. I think there's some excellent recommendations that have come from our clerk and from members of this council in the recommendation we have here to engage with the community and to build on some of the efforts that have been taken on already by different members of the council. So I don't think it's a positive step to be adding in an open forum option at this time. It is something that we could revisit once we have had an opportunity to put some of these other pieces in place. But if it is a matter of wanting to be able to address all of council, we all get emails from folks. We can choose to respond or not. Having that opportunity for people to address us where we're not responding is providing a platform for someone, and it may make discussion and debate all the more difficult and challenging for us if the tone has been set in a certain way. Thank you.
CAO Kelly.
Just kind of going back to, again, this issue of 14 days. So if a member of the public generally receives notice that council is going to look at something, it would be through their committee of the whole, for instance, right? That's where you'd first see it on an agenda. Then it's going to appear at the next council meeting, except for a couple of hiccups that we have this year due to the overall annual calendar and schedule and the logistics of what's going on. Generally, our meetings are following 2 weeks apart. So somebody could get the agenda and there's an item on committee of the whole, and they would have 2 weeks to then discuss it at council if they wanted to make that delegation. Somebody would have sufficient time under the rules, as far as I can tell, maybe the clerk would like to chime in, that they would be able to have notice, give us notice, that they would like to appear for the council meeting and have that delegation without having to change things up such that it has to be, you know, unplanned or on the fly.
Any further discussion on this amendment? Councillor Gerard.
Thank you. I'm going to have to admit that my reasoning is due to the fact of what's been put forward with regards to, and as the mayor has suggested, I started talking about having meetings at other locations or having one-on-ones with certain councillors. There has been a very strong concern sent to me that when we have had open houses at like the town hall, as per se, there's no microphone. People don't hear what's being talked about. People don't feel that their voices are being heard. And when a person is able to come and speak, even if it's just for 2 minutes, and say what they want to say in front of all of council, at least they know their information is getting presented appropriately. If they come and speak to just one councillor or two councillors, then we then have to portray what that person is trying to say. And I feel that it's just an option. I myself ran on transparency, and I felt that people should be allowed to speak because it is their taxpayers, their money that's paying for this.
Go ahead, Madam Clerk.
So I think what's important in this discussion here is that we're not looking at all of these individual, like open forum or drop-in sessions or a town hall, as individual pieces. It's all a part of a larger community engagement framework that I'm hoping that this council will get behind and support. There is not one solution that's going to work for every single member of this community. And so what I'm trying to get to a point with this organization and this council is to what methods of communicating with our community is going to give the most value to them, the residents, and also to you as the decision makers at this table. So is it a combination of drop-ins one-on-one, because that might be how some people best communicate because they don't like talking in public. Some might be, let's go out into the community, into Pakenham, into Ramsey, on topics that are specific to that area or of note for the time of the year or whichever, and garner feedback that way. Or is it creating an online forum or an online tool with our new website where we can poll people or we can have people submit questions, and there's like a frequently asked questions section on our website, or where we can gather information that way. So there's multi facets to this strategy, and I don't think it's for our discussion here. I think we need to think of it all as one, not as individual little pieces.
Further discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I'd like to ask our two reps that go to Lanark County, how often is this carried out up there that people come and speak?
Mayor Lowry?
I'll be really frank. I don't think it's a fair comparison. We never have people in the gallery at the county. It's rare that we have anyone there. And it's rare that that someone chooses to come and speak. Generally, I think you'll find, and this isn't special to Lanark County and Mississippi Mills, I think you'll generally find that residents tend to be very engaged in the lower tier and not as much in the upper tier. And that's certainly what we see here in Lanark County. I don't know if Deputy Mayor Minnelli may have a different sense, but certainly it's tumbleweed could run through and you wouldn't know the difference because it's pretty quiet.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli, do you add to that?
But we do have a lot of presentations from organizations and in-house presentations that are quite lengthy and quite in-depth. So it's, but as far as the public goes, there's few and far between up there. I think sometimes there's more press than there are people in the gallery.
Councillor Gerard.
Thank you. I guess I'm not looking at this as an either or. I would just like to include it so that option is available to the public. I totally appreciate that someday we're going to have a new website and people are going to be able to type in, but not all of my constituents are actually able to get on a computer and type and make those comments. And right now we don't have that system. So this is something I wanted to add to, not necessarily exchange something else.
Deputy Mayor Minnelli.
I just prefer to have that as a separate motion and vote the two different. Can we split them up? That way, either if you vote against it, then you're voting against everything, right?
No.
So it's still just at the amendment phase. We haven't even voted on this amendment. So Councillor Gerard moved this amendment to include the open forum at the Committee of the Whole meetings with the parameters that we've discussed. If this is carried, that it will be form part of the main motion. At that stage, you could make a motion to divide the question. But if it's defeated, then it's defeated. It doesn't become part of the main motion.
Any further discussion? All in favor of this amendment? It's defeated. Let's go back to the recommendation. Any further discussion on this recommendation? Councillor Ferguson.
Yes, thank you. Well, I'm pleased that the discussion has came a bit way. I think that, and the clerk has made reference to it, the fact that this is not a individual, it's a package that we're looking at. And if I look to page 47, and specifically to number one on there, and I commend the two Almond councillors for doing what they're doing, but when I started in this political business a number of years ago, young and ambitious, that's what I did on a Saturday morning, and it petered out very quickly in Pakenham. Now I'm old and I'm still ambitious, but I don't know if it's going to carry a lot in Pakenham. So what we do here is totally different, I think, than maybe what happens in Ramsey or what happens in Pakenham, because I find it quite effective, either BSing in the street or in the businesses and at the arena. So I don't know whether that is just another way of doing things. But if we have that flexibility, then I'm in favor of the whole thing. But I'd just like to make sure of that.
Madam Clerk?
So, yes, there is flexibility. No way am I insisting that councillors take certain action. I'm saying we can encourage it, and staff will help facilitate it where possible. So if it's you need office space or anything like that, we would help you. But obviously, it's not a mandatory thing. It's just an option.
Mayor Lowry? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. So I agree with Councillor Ferguson. Actually, in the country, it's people don't really want to come around on Saturday morning. They either come to my door, or I go to Clayton occasionally. I see them there. I see people over in Appleton. You're absolutely right. For Councillor Gerard and I to set up shop every Saturday morning, I think we'd be doing a lot of talking to one another.
I can add to that, Councillor Ferguson, that there is a fair amount of people come in Saturday mornings, and we still got BSing going on in the streets, too. So, any further discussion on the recommendation? All in favor of the recommendation? That's carried. We're on number 5, support development of independent model for Millick and Tail. Mover and seconder, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Ferguson, discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I agree with this recommendation, except I'd like to see included in it, I'd like to make a change with it, to include discussions with the National Capital Commission. And I'd also like to see something in there where the mayor and staff would keep council updated.
Ask for a seconder first for that. Councillor Ferguson. Discussion. Mayor Lowry.
So just to respond, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Holmes' comments, we do have to keep in mind that this isn't our process in Mississippi Mills. I do wear two hats, as you do, as a board member with the MVCA. So certainly there could be communication to the NCC if the MVCA staff have not done so at this point. I just would want to be cautious to not give anyone the impression that it's not Mississippi Mills that's running the ship, I guess, is what I want to say. We're part of we've been brought in as part of something, but it's not to say that there shouldn't be discussions with the NCC. And absolutely, there's certain things I can't speak freely about just right now because it hasn't been publicized, and I don't want to steal anyone else's thunder, but been more than been happy to keep council and the public apprised as things develop.
Yeah. Councillor Holmes.
Thank you, Mayor Lowry. I do appreciate what you have said, but I feel that this is our taxpayers' money, so you know, let's keep the NCC in there as an option in case everything else falls through. Not that it has to be exercised, you know, immediately, but it's there, so we know it's there. And in terms, again, some kind of keeping us abreast, just because it is our taxpayers' dollars, it's the $10,000. So I think we owe it to our taxpayers to make sure we're monitoring what's happening.
Mayor Lowry.
Through you, Mr. Chair, to Councillor Holmes, I would actually suggest that perhaps the NCC piece be brought up at the AGM of the MVCA, just because it isn't necessarily Mississippi Mills who's driving the bus on this. I think we want to be open to working with anyone we can work with. The partners that are listed have not been chosen by us, let me say it that way. But perhaps to drive that point, we can raise that at the AGM tomorrow afternoon.
Councillor Holmes?
I'm okay with that. And this actually is, are we, yeah, no, this is at CAU tonight, so it'll be voted on in 2 weeks, so that's fine with me.
Okay, Councillor Ferguson, you're okay with that? You second it? All right. So we'll go back to the recommendation.
We still have there was just a second part of that amendment where you were recommending that staff be directed to keep council informed? Do you still want that as a motion, or you just want that as like a action item? Okay, so we still would have to vote on that amendment then to add in.
Okay, so that second part? Mm-hmm. And Councilor Ferguson, you'll continue to second that second part. Any more discussion on that? All in favor of that amendment? It's carried. And the recommendation itself, any more discussion? All in favor of the recommendation? That's carried. We have a notice of motion from Mayor Lowry. We have a seconder for that motion. Councillor Holmes, Mayor Lowry, would you like to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think the motion probably speaks to itself. Just to give maybe a little bit of a background here, of course, the Mississippi Valley Textile Museum is quite interested in the phase two, the extension of the Riverwalk, as it includes the Millworker staircase. So very much is in alignment with their mandate. And as such, the museum has been successful with a couple grants for projects that they would like to undertake in concert with the RFP that would be going out for our project this summer. So this notice of motion is really just to direct staff to draft and execute a memorandum of understanding so that the work that we're doing and the work that the museum wishes to undertake has some agreement around it. And we want it to be successful not just right now, but of course into the future. And there's always questions of who's responsible for what and liabilities and insurance and all those kinds of things. So as we're moving into this this project this season, I think it's warrants us getting a few things understood, and so my motion is to direct that staff do just that, work out an agreement, and ensure that the project's going to go through in the best way it can for both parties.
Any more discussion on this motion? All in favor? It's carried. Information items. We don't have a mayor's report this evening. A county councillor's report. Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the county side of our evening on it was February 5th was our last meetings. There was very little decision items actually on the council side. I did do a brief presentation from Valley Heartland. I sit on the board of Valley Heartland for the county, and I have a few of these which I'd be happy to share with any members who may like to take a look at it. It's the final hard copy of the business retention and expansion project that Lanark County undertook, and there's a lot of really excellent information in here. Mississippi Mills is participated very strongly in this project, and because Mississippi Mills is a combination of urban and rural community and businesses, the information coming from this works very well for us in terms of providing a snapshot of what's happening in our own municipality as well. So that's something I'd be happy to share. I have a few copies, happy to share with anyone who may like to take a look at that. On the committee side, we had the Community Services Committee meeting, and of course our Deputy Mayor Minnelli is the chair of this, so if I get anything wrong, you can let me know. There was three main pieces that were looked at on the Community Services side, all having to do with housing, all having to do with funding, and this funding coming from federal and provincial sources. So the first is the allocation of, it's called CHIPPY funding, so Community Homelessness Prevention Initiative. Lanark County is in the receipt of just over $1.3 million for 2020 into 2021, and the intention of this fund is to prevent address and reduce homelessness, and they do so by improving access to affordable housing and support services. So the breakdown is there. There's four items plus administration costs. If anyone has questions as to what is in each of those items, that was what was passed at committee and will be discussed then tomorrow at council for final approval. Similarly, there's also COCHI and OFI, all these new acronyms. So COCHI is the Canada Ontario Community Housing Initiative Fund, along with OFI, which is the Ontario Priorities Housing Initiative. It creates multi-year programs of funding. So this is, we're in year two of 9 years of funding. And it is the umbrella is the investment plan for community housing renewal strategies. So the breakdown is there of where this money would be utilized. Home ownership program is one that helps those who are currently renting, helps them with a down payment. And that down payment is a forgivable loan. So if you stay in the home, your loan is forgivable after a certain number of years. The Ontario Renovates program is another one. It's a different way of trying to address affordable housing in that it is meant to help people who may need a new roof, may need a new furnace, may benefit from insulating the home, those kinds of things. That's a program that's in place to help address the costs of home ownership. There's also housing support services for those who are needing assistance with housing, and then an administration component to it as well. And then on the corporate services side, we received the report from Chief Ed McPherson. He's the chief of the Lanark County Paramedic Service. And it was regarding the certificate to operate a land ambulance service. And it was a very impressive report. They received 97s, 99s, and 100s all the way along. So it was very, very impressive. The work that goes into getting that certificate and the quality of what came back in their certificate. I would mention as well that Chief Ed McPherson is retiring. He has been the chief for, I believe it is 7 years of the Lanark County Paramedic Service. The Elmont General Hospital runs the program in partnership with the county. He'll be retiring in the next couple of weeks, and Travis Malema, who is currently the deputy chief, will be appointed to the chief position as Ed retires. And then the last thing to share with you is regarding the Climate Action Plan, an item out of the Climate Action Plan. Oh, I might not be able to share with you. My computer went asleep. Anyway, it is in the works, so the details are not defined at this point. But as is indicated in the report here, the Climate Action Plan has a project in it entitled 1 Million Trees Project, and the goal is to plant 1 million trees in Lanark County. And we're doing that in partnership with the Mississippi Valley Conservation Authority and the Rideau Valley Conservation Authority, who are going to help us provide trees for individuals who may like to plant them on their own properties or whatnot. Both conservation authorities have tree planting programs, but you have to buy the trees in the thousands. So it's great for someone like Councillor Ferguson, who has lots of land and he needs to plant lots of trees or wishes to plant lots of trees. If you don't have a large piece of land, you might, you know, have a quarter acre or a couple acres and you want to plant 50 trees, it's hard to take advantage of these programs. So this is the intention with the county's 1 Million Trees Project, is to buy trees in bulk, and you can come and literally buy two if that's what you want to do. And we're expecting to have a depot probably in Beckwith and then in Perth, excuse me. The variety and whatnot will be yet to be determined in dates, but I'll be happy to share that with everyone as the details become a little bit clearer on that program.
That's it. Thank you. Councillor Ferguson.
Thank you. Yep. Just a comment on the RVCA. Yes, they're very, very receptive to whomever. and I've utilized them in the past, and I've phoned them again, and they're very receptive to anything to dealing with the trees. My question is, Ontario Renovates, is that salary-based?
Salary-based, and I think it's the home as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I can certainly pass those numbers. So do you have them right on your...
And it's the most sought-after program they have. Basically, it's half of it is people that are on the edge of losing their house and their furnace goes. It's not renovating the whole house and putting in new drywall and curtains and stuff. It's for emergency stuff like that, that say furnace, or if you live in the country and your well pump goes or something, and that... And it's a very well sought after program at the county, and it's the first funding to be gone right away.
Yeah, because my question really was, in, on a counselor remuneration, would we qualify from a salary perspective? I guess that's true.
First come, first serve. So,
and just one more point on Councillor McPherson when he did his report. We have better equipment in the, than most major cities for our ambulances in Lanark County than most major cities in Canada. So that's good on Lanark County. Thank you.
Mayor Lowry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I realized I had a note here and I forgot to provide this update as well. A couple members of council have been looking for further information about the parking or the no parking, I should say, and no stopping in front of the church across from the school in Pakenham. I did have a discussion with Terry McCann, the director of Roads and Public Works at the county, and he has further information that he will be providing with me tomorrow when I am at county. He did say two things that were quite interesting to me, and one was that there had actually been no changes made to the distances that were currently in effect at the school. He had indicated they were from, you know, years and years ago. The change was the timing on the signage. So rather than it being simply through the school day, the signage is all the time. It's 24/7. So that's the change he indicated to me is the difference now between what we had now, what we have now, and what we had a year ago. There was also a question about enforcement, and he did indicate that there is no enforcement mechanism for any of this. So That might help out the churchgoers at St. Andrews. But I imagine I'll have a few more details, and certainly if this council wishes to seek other information or seek a different direction, we can do that. But as I say, I will have a little bit more information from Director McCann after meeting him tomorrow at the county.
Thank you. MVCA, we don't have a report this evening. Mover and seconder for the information list, please. Councillor Holmes, Councillor Ferguson. Discussion? Councillor Holmes.
Thank you. I'd like to pull item 5, please.
Councillor Gerard. I'd like
to pull item 1 to, as well, please.
Item 1. Any more? Mayor Lowry?
Number 4, please.
Okay. Any more? All in favor to receive the information list? Carried. Meeting calendars, page 68. Any additions or edits? None said. Oh, sorry, no, Councillor Gerard.
I was just going to say, I believe our rec has now been changed to the. Is it? I just got new updates for both my accessibility, which is now on March the 11th, and I'm pretty sure we just got our rec one too. Parks and Rec is been changed as well to the 3rd.
For
March, I think, March 3rd, because they had to change it out. It was the 25th, and they've changed it to the 3rd.
Anything else on the calendar? We'll move down to other new business. Pending lists, discussion. Okay. Mover and seconder for adjournment. Mayor Lowry, Deputy Mayor Minnelli, all in favor? We are adjourned.